Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod's Sleep Stories. My name is Chris, and tonight I will be your guide as we embark on a journey to the beautiful land of ancient Greece, where we will join Heracles, also known as Hercules in Roman mythology, on his heroic quest to complete the famous 12 labors. Before we begin, however, let us take a moment to relax and find comfort in the place that we are in, here and now. Close your eyes and allow your body to sink into the mattress beneath you. Here and now, there are no obligations. There is no to-do list. By simply listening to the sound of my voice and closing your eyes, you are already allowing your body and mind to rest. Turn your attention to how your body feels on the mattress and the pillow beneath your head. Notice how it cradles you, how it welcomes you to unwind and gives you permission to let go. With your eyes still closed and your body sinking deeper and deeper still into the mattress beneath you, let's relax further and follow our imagination into a different world. Imagine that you are on a boat. It is a large wooden boat. A boat that can withstand any wave that brushes against its hull. The boat itself is full of intricate woodwork, deep mahogany wood with carvings of the sea, and lush fixtures that make you feel as though you are somewhere special. You are on your bed in the center of the boat. Above you, the sky is a calming baby blue. And below, the sea is a mosaic of cerulean, cyan, sapphire, and cornflower. It reflects white in the waves, seafoam that shifts round with the perpetual natural motion of the water. You watch the foam for quite some time as it surfs across the waves, disappearing gradually until it is nothing but a gossamer swept across the water. The air around you is invigorating and comforting. On the briny breeze, you can smell the breathtaking aromas wafting towards you from the islands that you can just make out in the distance. It's the unique scent of the Mediterranean. You can smell the freshness of citrus orchards, the richness of lush fields of herbs, the piney, spicy, refreshing aroma of cypress trees dotting some distant hillsides. It's comforting to have that distance from land, to know that out here, the world is yours, while also being close enough to breathe in the scents of the beautiful land beyond. Overhead, white, fluffy clouds meander across the cornflower sky. They are like cottony puffs, lazily gliding over the sea of blue as they make their way towards the egg yolk sun overhead. All around, gulls and other seafaring birds dart and dance through the skies, singing songs to one another and songs to the universe. Slowly, the clouds begin to drape over the areas of bright sunlight. The stunning rays of light all across you in streaks now, gently illuminating parts of your body. You feel the warmth of one of these rays of sun as it washes across your face. The tender light relaxes the muscles around your eyes. In fact, your whole face begins to relax. Your jaw unclenches, and your tongue relaxes, falling into a more natural position. Your shoulders fall away from your ears, giving you more space to breathe, and breathe slowly and deeply. The warmth of the sunlight seems to caress your muscles. Each and every one feels more relaxed. Even your mind grows more at ease. It's as if the warmth of the sunlight has cleared any fogginess or worries within you, leaving your place to simply observe and be. Then you feel the rays of light drift down your body, now covering your arms and torso. The light once more works its magic on your muscles. Your hands unclench, falling onto the mattress, relax, and in a natural position. Any tension that you've been carrying in your shoulders or arms melts away, disappearing into the mattress beneath you. And in your chest, you feel your breaths becoming deeper and deeper. It's as if the warmth of the sun has thawed them, giving you more space to take nourishing, deep breaths. With these breaths, you feel your heartbeat slow to a calm, peaceful level, and any weight that you might have been carrying within your heart or on your shoulders disappears. And you're reminded that it is not yours to carry anyway. The ray of light continues its journey over your body, now illuminating your legs in that brilliant golden glow. You feel any tension or pain that you've been carrying in your legs fade until you are left with nothing but a comfortable hum. Then the sun embraces your whole body. Basking in it, you feel at peace. And listening to the waves, you find yourself growing more and more relaxed by the second. Now that we have taken the time to relax and find comfort in the place that we're in here and now, let us begin our story. It was a sunny, brilliant day in the plains of central Greece when young Heracles was born. From the moment he entered the world, it was clear that he possessed something special. He smiled at his darling mother, Alcmene. Mere moments after he was delivered, and there was a spark in his eyes, unlike anything she had ever seen. She cradled her son in her arms, promising to keep him safe and happy. But little did she know how challenging that would prove to be. Heracles was the illegitimate son of Zeus, the god of the sky and thunder. Zeus was married to Hera, the goddess of women, marriage, and family. When Hera discovered that Heracles had been born, her jealousy and pain got the best of her. Her husband Zeus often strayed. But when these affairs resulted in children, they made it harder for her to forget these transgressions, and potentially put her life and the lives of all those in Greece in danger. And so, led by jealousy and revenge, Hera sent two snakes into Heracles' crib when he was but an infant. She knew a child as young as he would be unable to protect himself. At least, a normal child would be unable to. Still an infant, Heracles looked upon the snakes with no fear. Instead of cowering or crying, instead of calling out for his mother, Heracles took the snakes in his tiny hands, squeezing them and preventing them from biting him. Hera was disgusted, heartbroken by this, and she was concerned. It was clear this baby had strength of the gods. Strength that would be hard to rid the world of. For several years, Hera allowed Heracles to go on and live his life peacefully. He was raised by his mother in the serene countryside. He spent his days doing chores around the household and being friendly with the other townspeople. He was known for his strength and his kindness, and because of both of those, he was a great help to all the people of his town. Some people whispered that he was the child of a god, but Heracles never spoke of his lineage, instead focusing on living every present moment to the fullest. When he was just a young adult, he fell madly in love with a woman named Megara. The two were wed at a local temple and lived a peaceful, happy life together for several years. They spent long days out in the sunshine together, working in their fields, and spent their nights curled up by the fire together, swapping stories and marveling at the vast skies full of stars twinkling above them. But Hera, perched up in the palace of Olympus, in a room of marble and gold, was still displeased and concerned about Heracles. Her jealousy had not diminished after all these years, and so she did the unthinkable. She cast a spell upon upon poor Heracles, driving him mad. In his insanity, he ended the life of his beloved wife. And when he awakened from the spell that Hera had put him under, he was devastated. Heracles did not care how this fate had come about. He firmly placed the blame upon himself. Desperate to repent for his actions, he knelt beneath the willow tree at the edge of the home that he had shared with his wife, clasped his hands together, praying to the god Apollo. He asked Apollo for guidance. Unsure of how to move forward, unsure of how he could repent for such actions, Apollo looked upon Heracles with an air of sorrow. He knew the young man did not mean to do this. He knew he never would have done it without Hera's influence. And yet, he knew there was only one way of mending the wrong that he had been forced to do. Apollo called down to Heracles with a calm, comforting voice, telling him that he should speak to the Oracle of Delphi. Heracles thanked the god wholeheartedly and began his journey to visit the Oracle. Tucked away in a temple, she provided guidance for the god and for the whole of Greece. Her wisdom and foresight was unmatched, and Heracles felt great comfort knowing that he was in good hand seeking her guidance. He knelt before the Oracle of Delphi. Around them, candles crackled in the dark temple, and fragrant offerings of flowers and incense lined the walls. Heracles knelt before the Oracle and asked her for guidance. The Oracle placed a hand upon the hero's shoulder, feeling deeply for him. Hera's quest for vengeance was no secret, and everyone knew that Heracles' deed was not his fault. Still, the Oracle told him that he would have to repent, and to repent, he would have to serve Eurystheus, the king of tyrants, for 12 whole years. When Heracles knelt before Eurystheus to repent for his crimes, he had no idea what kind of road awaited him. Eurystheus had 12 tasks prepared for Heracles, one for each year. Only, these were not average tasks. These tasks were seen by everyone at the time as impossible to complete. They had never been successfully accomplished by anyone, and many had passed on in their attempts to complete them. But Heracles, fearing no man and fearing no task, agreed to do this for Eurystheus with no hesitation. Though he knew the 12 tasks would be challenging, he also knew that completing them would allow him to atone for the loss of his beloved wife and his own actions. Eurystheus told Heracles of his first task, to bring him the pelt of a lion that had been terrorizing the hills around the town of Nemea. Heracles set out on the task, carrying nothing but a club and a bow and arrow with him. The sight of Nemea was breathtaking. Mountains encased it, mountains coated in golden grasses that swayed and danced in the wind. There were sprawling meadows of wildflowers that filled the air with a calming fragrance. Heracles wished he could sit beneath the shade of a tree and enjoy the beauty of the day. But he knew the task he faced was great. Heracles tracked the footsteps of the lion through the stunning countryside of Nemea. Every step of the way, through the winding hills, seemed to pass a view more beautiful than the last. He breezed by stunning caves made of blue and silver and grey stone that sparkled in the sunlight. He passed by flower meadow after flower meadow, stopping every once in a while just to breathe in their aroma. He passed by trickling streams, streams where the lion had paused to sip the cool mountain water. Finally, Heracles' tracking led him to the lion. He reached into his quiver and pulled out the arrows, getting a good shot of the beast. But as the arrow reached the lion, nothing happened. It crashed to the ground, falling in the dirt as though it was nothing but a piece of paper he had thrown. The beast roared at Heracles, aware of what he was trying to do. Heracles understood why getting rid of the lion had been deemed impossible. Its golden fur was impervious to attack. Instead, Heracles grabbed hold of his club and followed behind the lion until the lion entered a cave with two entrances. The cave was tall and majestic, with large rocks crumbled around it. Rocks that had been there since the earth shifted thousands and thousands of years before. Knowing this was his one chance to trap the lion, Heracles piled rocks in front of one of the entrances. Then he followed the lion into the other, giving it no escape. Using nothing but his bare hands, Heracles was able to put an end to the lion that had been terrorizing the people of Nemea for months on end. After being presented with the lion's pelt, the king was shocked. Before this, he had not really grasped the sheer strength of Heracles. Fearful of that strength, the king forbade Heracles from ever entering his city again. Instead of facing him face to face, Eurystheus would send Heracles his tasks with the help of a herald. And that is precisely how he sent Heracles on his next task, which was even more challenging than the first. Heracles was sent to defeat the Hydra, a massive, snake-like creature with 9 heads that dwelled in the swamps of Lerna. The snake would rise from the swamps in the moonlight and terrorize the countryside, forcing many people to stay in their homes. Heracles traveled to the beautiful countryside and entered one of the many swamps. Moss hung from the trees that rose high overhead, casting shadows on the murky swamp water. He knew the task before him would be almost impossible to complete, which is why he was thankful to have his nephew, Aeolus, alongside him. Heracles lured the Hydra from its den using flaming arrows. Then, once it was finally out to face them, the two worked together to take the beast down. Heracles buried the final, immortal head of the Hydra underground beneath a heavy rock, ensuring that it wouldn't be able to torment anyone ever again. With that task completed, Heracles met with a herald who told him of his next task. He was to capture the Golden Hind of Artemis. He had to travel to Cyrenia and return with the hide, enormous female deer with golden antlers, hooves of bronze, which was also exceptionally fast and snorted fire. At first, it seemed as though this would be an easy task. Surely, someone as strong as Heracles could get a deer. However, the reality of the situation was much more complicated. The deer was sacred to Artemis, the goddess of the hunt. Wilderness, nature, vegetation, and the moon. If Heracles simply killed the deer to bring it to the king, he would have to endure the wrath of Artemis. Not wanting this fate, Heracles realized he would have to capture the deer alive and bring it to the king. For a long year, Heracles followed the deer everywhere she went, chasing her. After such a long time, the beautiful deer became weary. Wanting a place to rest, she wandered to the lush mountains and prepared to cross a stream. Realizing he may lose the deer if she crossed the stream, and exhausted after a year-long journey, Heracles shot the deer with an arrow. Artemis became enraged and immediately visited Heracles, demanding repentance for the death of her beloved pet. Heracles had no choice but to tell Artemis of his task. When she heard what the poor hero had to endure, she was able to forgive him. she healed the wound on her deer and allowed Heracles to take the deer to the king to complete his task. The next task the king had for Heracles was equally challenging, maybe even more so. High on the mountain of Erymanthus, there lived a boar. This boar was a beast of an animal, with long tusks and a bad temperament. Every morning, it would race down from its den at the mountain's peak. Using its tusks, it would destroy everything in its path, destroying homes and wagons and hurting anyone that dared come near him. Heracles' task was to bring the boar back to the king alive. So he traveled high into those mountains, where the peak was blanketed with a thick layer of white snow. Below, the mountainside was lush, vibrant with the greens and yellows and browns of a flourishing forest. Heracles could hear the beast almost the moment he stepped on the mountaintop. It was rooting around in the soil, looking for something to eat. Heracles took chase, forcing the boar into the forest, where it hid from the mighty Heracles. It ducked into the thicket, hoping the hero would go away. Instead, Heracles poked at it in the thicket, forcing the boar to run into the snow. Trapped by the thick, cold snow, Heracles was able to quickly scoop the boar up in a net and carry it back to the king's herald. His next task was the first that didn't involve facing a fearsome beast. Rather, it was a seemingly simple task with the intention to humiliate the great hero. Heracles was ordered to clean King Augeas's stables. King Augeas was an extremely wealthy man with the greatest number of cattle in the country, gifted to him by his father, the god Helios. But this task was harder than it seemed, since the stables were huge and never cleaned before, and he had only a single day to complete the task. Nevertheless, using his strength, Heracles dug long ditches that laced through and around the stables, and managed to reroute two nearby rivers to wash the ditches and stables clean. Seeing the ease at which Heracles completed this task, the king decided to give him a more challenging task next. He was ordered to drive away a massive flock of Stymphalian birds that were terrorizing a forest near Lake Stymphalia. Heracles made his way through the thick forest to reach the sparkling lake. But just as he reached the lake, the shadow of birds with beaks of bronze and sharp metallic feathers swept over him. Heracles had never seen a flock so big, and he had no idea how to drive them away. Unfortunately for him, the goddess Athena saw his dilemma and decided to offer a young hero some help. She descended from Olympus and presented him with a crotala, a noise-making clapper. This crotala had been forged by none other than Hephaestus, the god of fire, metalworking, and forges, ensuring that they would be loud enough to drive the birds away. Heracles made his way to the tallest peak above the lake. He clapped the crotala together, driving the birds out of the trees. Heracles then shot many of them with feathered arrows, tipped with poisonous blood from the slain Hydra. Heracles' seventh task was to capture the Cretan bull, a bull with a rather dark history on the island of Crete, and the father of famed Minotaur. The strong bull had caused trouble for the people of Crete for a long time, but Heracles was able to take down the beast with relative ease. When he arrived on the island, he first sought permission from King Minos to take the bull away. Then he captured the beast in a headlock, wrestling it to the ground, and then shipped him to Eurystheus. The bull later broke loose and wandered into Marathon, becoming known as the Marathonian Bull. His next task would prove to be far more challenging. Heracles was sent to gather the man-eating mares of Diomedes. Diomedes was the leader of a Thracian tribe, and he used the power of his mares to rule over them. Eager to complete his task, Heracles sailed across the sea to gather the mares with a group of volunteers. They managed to gather the mares and drive them back towards their ship. But not without Diomedes discovering what they had done. Desperate to have his mares back, Diomedes chased after Heracles and his team, stealing back the mares. A fight ensued, which Heracles easily won with his strength. He defeated the tribe and killed Diomedes, allowing him to escape with the mares and complete his task. Bucephalus, Alexander the Great's beloved horse, was said to be descended from these mares. His ninth task was to obtain the belt of Hippolyta, the queen of the Amazon. The belt was a powerful armor crafted by her father, god Ares, god of war himself. The Amazons were a group of powerful female warriors and hunters who allowed no men in their society. When Heracles and his crew got off the ship, he kindly told Hippolyta why they had come. Hippolyta agreed to give Heracles her belt, feeling sorry for the warrior and wanting him to find peace. But there was one person on the island who didn't want peace at all. Hera, disguised as an Amazon woman, told the other warriors that the ship was attempting to kidnap their queen. Enraged, the warriors raced towards the ship, ready for a fight. A great battle ensued between the warriors and Heracles. He finally managed to escape on his ship with the belt, though it was no easy task. Heracles' next labor would bring him to the farthest point he had ever journeyed to. He was ordered to go to the ends of the earth and obtain the cattle of the monster Geryon. Heracles sailed to the beautiful faraway island, and as soon as he arrived, he was attacked by Orthrus, a giant two-headed dog, the father of the Sphinx and the Nemean lion. Heracles fought Orthrus, alerting Geryon to his presence. Fighting a giant with three heads and six arms was a challenge, but Heracles had an advantage with his strength. Using his poisoned arrows, Heracles was able to knock down Geryon and take his cattle. When he presented the cattle to the king, he felt a wave of relief. His tasks were nearly finished. The 11th task presented to Heracles brought him to one of the most beautiful places on earth. He was ordered to get three golden apples from the Garden of Hesperides. The apples were guarded by a dragon, as well as the Hesperides, the daughters of the Titan Atlas. And not only that, but the apples themselves belonged to Hera and Zeus. Heracles managed to find the garden with the help of the Old Man of the Sea, a shape-shifting sea god. When he arrived, he discovered Atlas holding up the sky on his shoulders. Atlas had been condemned to hold the sky above his head for all of his life, a task which he rightfully hated. Seeing this as an opportunity, Heracles offered to hold the heavens for Atlas if he would retrieve the apples. Thrilled to be rid of the weight, Atlas agreed. Heracles held the heavens above his head while he waited for Atlas to return. But when Atlas returned, he was eager to find a way to trick Heracles into holding the sky forever for him. He offered to bring the apples to the gods instead. Knowing this was a trick, Heracles agreed and gave Atlas a trick of his own. He agreed to continue holding the heavens, but asked if Atlas could take it back for just a moment so he could put some padding on his shoulders. As soon as Atlas took hold of the sky again, Heracles took the apples and raced off, leaving him there. Heracles' final task would bring him somewhere he had never been before, Underworld. there, he was ordered to capture Cerberus, the three-headed dog that guarded the gates of the underworld. Heracles asked Hades, the god of the underworld, for permission to bring Cerberus to the king. Hades agreed, on the condition that Heracles not kill the beast. With ease, Heracles fought Cerberus and slung him over his shoulder, still alive. He brought Cerberus to the king, completing his tasks after 12 long years. From that moment forward, Heracles was forgiven for what Hera had made him do. He lived the rest of his life as a hero, sailing on many adventures with other heroes in Greek mythology. I hope you have enjoyed this sleep story, and it has brought you a night of peaceful sleep. Please, join me again tomorrow for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.